The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus answered this parable, addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, or adulterous, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pray, tithe on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off in the distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful on me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you,
Lord Jesus Christ.
Good evening.
Good evening.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Well, there's a little sadness in Soonerland today, but I think we'll kind of get over it, won't we? So it's the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're wrapping up Ordinary Time. There's only 34 Sundays. And we're heading towards that blessed event, the birth of Jesus coming up with the Advent just right around the corner. And we're continuing the journey. Jesus is continuing his journey to his fate in Jerusalem. And that's where we are, where we hear this Gospel of Luke. And so it's fitting that today's readings, both the first one and the third one, have to do with prayer. Now, our first reading talks about how powerful prayer is to the believers. The prayers of the lowly pierce the clouds and do not rest until they reach their goal. That's pretty powerful right there. Essentially saying that God hears and answers all prayers for the rich and the poor alike. So how important is prayer life? Well, you know the answer as well as I do. It's essential. And it's not just our Sunday prayer, and it's not just our morning prayer or our evening prayer or our prayer at meals. Because Jesus tells us, and Paul reiterates, that we should pray always. Praying always sounds like a daunting task, doesn't it? It sounds pretty impossible. But if we think about it, praying always is really kind of easy. First, let's define prayer really quickly. It's simply communication between us and God. Now notice I said communication. Communication implies a dialogue. It means that we're in conversation with God, that we ask and that he tells. And it's an important component of prayer that we spend the time to listen to what God wants to say to us, how God speaks to us. It's a conversation, not a one-way event. And we know there are different kinds of prayers. Prayers of adoration and glory, like glory to God in the highest. And prayers of supplication, where we ask God for things, like a better life or a good life for our children or just anything. Then there's prayers of worship, like this. the Mass. And then there's prayers of thanksgiving, prayers where we thank God for the blessings we were given. Then there's corporate and communal prayer. If you were here early, you sat through a rosary. That's a corporate prayer. That's a communal prayer. That's everybody praying together. And then finally, there's meditative prayer or individual prayer. This is when we sit on our own, maybe in front of the Blessed Sacrament, or maybe just at home in bed, and think of God and meditate on spiritual things. All these forms of prayer should be part of our daily life. All of them, not just one of them or two of them. And when we rise and give God acknowledgement that He is in our lives and that He has blessed us with a new life today, we should carry that attitude throughout the day. Throughout the day, and remember that this is prayer. And no matter what we do, if we think in terms of we are doing this in the name of God, because God has given us life and given us this ability to do whatever we're doing, we are praying always. And we're succeeding in that event. Jesus is giving his followers final instructions during this time, because he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to his fate. And so he reminds them that faith has taught them to be obedient and open to God's will. God is coming into their lives. And also that God has a plan. And God's plan, in reality, is the only plan. No matter what plan we make, God has a way of stepping in and making his plan priority. Our prayers and their prayers should be a living expression of this faith and trusting of God's will. And we will always be there. And God will always be responsive to our call if we bring God into our hearts in this way. So in the gospel, we see two people praying. We see the Pharisee and the tax collector. Now, when I was a kid, my mom used to ask me, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And of course, I always had this interest in building things and constructing things, so ever since I learned the word architect and what it meant, that was something I really wanted to be. Although it seemed to me at that time in my life that it was an impossible goal. So when Mom had asked, "What do you want to be?" I'd say, "A baseball player, or a movie star, or something that seems like totally out of reach." And yet she'd tell me, encourage me, and say, "You know, if you work hard, you can do anything you want." And one day she asked me the question, I said, just to be arrogant, I said, "I want to be a garbage man." Right? And she answered me in the way that she always did. She said, "Well, if garbage man is what you want to be, then you be the best garbage man that you can, and you will make me happy." That's the kind of mom I had. So, what if 2,000 years ago, a mom asked their child, "What would you like to be?" And that child said, "I want to be a Pharisee." Well, you know what? That mom would be very, very proud. Why? Because the Pharisees were good, holy men. And it's very clear in all the readings and all the Bible stories that the Pharisees, in fact, were revered by all the people, by the Jews. And in fact, Jesus respected the Pharisees as well, although he would constantly tell them of their faults. And he would always criticize them for being too concerned about the outside and not what's inside. That was his big criticism of the Pharisees. And you know, Jesus was kind of a Pharisee too, because he was a good and holy Jew. And he studied the Old Testament just like they did. And he practiced it. And he did all the things that were required by law. But why? Why did Jesus use the prayer of the Pharisees as an example of how not to pray? Well, it's obvious. But nobody wants to be a tax collector, you know? Especially 2,000 years ago. People thought of them as traitors. They thought of them as horrible men that went around abusing the people, you know? The tax collectors were hired by the Romans to do their bidding. And they would tell them that they have a region that has to have X amount of dollars assessed to them. And that they would live on whatever else they could gather above and beyond that assessment. And so tax collectors would go about to different people and ask for their assessment and take his 20% or whatever it was on top of that and go about his business. And if the people rebelled or didn't want to give them the tax, he'd call the Romans over and the Roman soldiers would beat it out. That's why they weren't very popular. That's why nobody wanted to be a tax collector. But here Jesus is making a very, very important point. He's telling the people, look, the Pharisees, the people you love and respect, are doing a prayer that is selfish, that is self-serving. This Pharisee's prayer is more like talking to himself than talking to God. He's tooting his own horn. He's not sincere. But the tax collector is humble and contrite and says, Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me my sin. And he's looking for reconciliation. And not only that, but he goes beyond that. And in other readings, we see that the tax collector sells all his goods and gives money back to the people he abused and makes restitution. This is what Jesus wants out of prayer. And isn't that kind of interesting, that sitting and asking for forgiveness and being forgiven and making restitution, doesn't it sound a lot like our sacrament of reconciliation? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? So Jesus asked the crowd, whose prayer was best? And the crowd obviously made the right choice. Even though they revered the Pharisee and hated the tax collector, they said it was the tax collector's prayer that was better. So prayer is the backbone of a relationship with God. It is of the highest importance. And Jesus relates this message in many ways, in many locations in the scriptures, in many different times, even to the point of teaching us the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. He teaches us how to pray with these words. So what is your prayer life? Look inside and ask yourself, is it sufficient? Is your prayer life enough? Are you praying always? Could it use improvement? You know what? I think we can all use some improvement. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.